My name is Pastor Irma Raymond, pastor of Bethlehem Church here in Dalton, Georgia. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I've got good news that will change your life forever. Get up and call a friend on the phone, and I'll be right back.
Told the mother. father called the family in. He was preparing them for the worst. I told the mother to call the family in so we could praise God in advance for what he was getting ready to do. Happening now. God can take total disaster and turn it into total victory. He healed my baby. He supplied my need. Yes, he did.
Today I want to speak to you from Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. My subject today is always pray, never give up. What is prayer? Dr. J. Gordon Henry, in his book Prayer Seminar, defines prayer as lifting oneself up to God. Prayer is the talking part of a relationship. He further states that everyone knows that verbal communication is necessary for healthy relationships. For example, in a marriage, when there is no verbal communication, the marriage goes sour. In the home, where there is no verbal communication, the home falls apart. Therefore, if we are going to have a relationship with God, we must communicate with God. And how do we communicate with God? Through prayer. You see, prayer is that contact with God, when our spirits connect with God's spirit. John 4:24 say, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Prayer is conversation with God. When we talk to God, God talks with us. When we draw near to God, God draws near to us. When we commune with God, God communes with us. Jesus often prayed, and his disciples saw great things happen after Jesus prayed. Jesus teaches the disciples that they ought to always pray and not faint or lose heart or give up. Jesus was strong and forceful in stressing the believer's duty to persevere, keep at it in prayer. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. The discussion followed the passage dealing with the return of Christ. There is need for perseverance in prayer. For over a long period of time and not giving in and becoming discouraged, God's people are to pray and keep on praying until Christ returns, no matter how long he may be delayed. The words "to this end" and "ought" have the ideal of necessity. It is absolutely necessary that men persevere in prayer. The word "always" means at all times. The believer is to develop a constant spirit of prayer, to maintain an unbroken consciousness of God's presence, to practice the very presence of God, to walk in a constant state of prayer. And the word "not to faint" means not to lose heart, not to turn coward, or to give up, or to give in to evil. 2 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Therefore, we should always pray and not give up. Jesus had a great deal to say about prayer. His disciples watched him and they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. They never said teach us how to do miracles or to teach or to love people. The one thing about his life that was so fascinating that they wanted to imitate him was his prayer life. In Luke 18:1-8, he shared a parable about prayer. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. You don't have to wonder about the meaning of this parable because the interpretation is given in the first verse. It says Jesus told his disciples men ought to always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow that in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keep bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The story begins with a widow who had an adversary who was trying to take advantage of her. It's likely someone was trying to cheat her out of money or land her husband left her. This was prevalent in Bible times because women had few legal rights. In the wonderful Old Testament story of Ruth, she and Naomi returned to Bethlehem as widows. They had no legal rights to claim the land that belonged to their husbands. Fortunately, Boaz married Ruth, and he became her kinsman redeemer. In Jesus' parable, this widow not only had the hurdle of being a female, she faced a terrible judge. He didn't have any fear of God, nor did he care what other people thought about him. He was probably a Gentile judge designated by the Roman authorities. Judgeships were sold and bought, and a judge could make a good living from the bribes that were common. Our widow had no money to bribe this wicked judge, so her only recourse was to come before him repeatedly crying, grant me justice against my adversary. Grant me justice against my adversary. He dismissed her claim, but she kept coming back, constantly begging him for justice. He must have thought, oh no, not her again. In verse 5, he admits she bothered him. The words translated bothering literally means to poke in the eye. He was upset because she was constantly in his face. This constant begging and nagging finally paid off. He ruled in her favor. There are at least 3 important prayer principles Jesus taught in the parable. They are, number 1, don't worry, pray. Amen. In the parable, the widow didn't sit at home wringing her hands about her problem. Instead of worrying, she got up and approached the only person who could help her, the judge. In verse 1, Jesus said, we ought to always pray and not give up. The New American Standard Bible says, pray and do not lose heart. The Greek word translated give up is enkino. It literally means to be filled with bad thoughts. Worry is filling your mind with bad thoughts of the worst that could happen. Worry is like water. It begins as a trickle of doubt that creeps into your mind. And if it isn't stopped, it soon becomes a stream of fear which creates a pond of paranoia which overflows into a river of distress which develops into a raging flow of tension. And before you know it, the flood of worry has carved a grand canyon of anxiety into your mind. William Ward wrote this about worry. Worry is faith in the negative, trust in the unpleasant, assurance of disaster, and belief in defeat. Worry is a magnet that attracts negative circumstances. Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. The Apostle Paul was stuck in a Roman dungeon facing the possibility of having his head chopped off. Instead of worrying about dying, he prayed, and in addition to praying, he wrote some letters to encourage Christians to pray instead of worrying. Look at his words found in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Remember these words when penned by a man sitting in a damp, dark, depressing jail. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you face a challenging circumstance, you have two choices. You can lose heart and let worrisome thoughts and control your mind, or you can pray about it. You should pray and not worry, because the God of the Bible loves you and cares for you. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. The first principle is don't worry, pray. And the second principle is don't quit, pray persistently. In the parable, the poor widow kept on begging the judge to grant her justice. She didn't just ask once and say, "Let me know what you decide." She kept on asking. Have you ever asked God for something and when God didn't answer your prayer immediately, you quit praying? That's a big mistake. The most effective prayers in the Bible are those who were prayed persistently. In Psalms 55, 16 through 7, David wrote, "I called to God, and the Lord saved me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cried out in distress, and he heard my voice." David wasn't one of those one-a-day vitamin prayers. He was an all-day prayer. In the Old Testament, Hannah desperately wanted a child. For many years, she prayed and prayed to have a child. After her prayer was unanswered for years, she didn't say, "Well, it must not be God's will for me to have a child." She kept on praying for years, and eventually God gave her a son, Samuel, the mighty prophet. Even Jesus prayed persistently. On the night before the crucifixion, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, pouring out his heart to his Father. His prayer burden was so intense that there were drops of blood, like sweat on his forehead. He prayed, "Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done." He prayed it again and again. Three times he cried out to his Father, and his Father heard him and gave him the strength and the resolve to face the cross. Persistence is an important factor in prayer. Persistence means to refuse to stop or give up. But persistence is a valuable commodity for every area of your Christian life, not just prayer. God blesses those who persist. So whatever you may be facing right now, don't give up. Because quitters never win and winners never quit. Do we have any winners in here today? God has always honored persistence. Even the best of people get knocked down in life. But what sets them apart from the quitter is that they get right back up. Life is full of adversarial people who will tackle you. You will face difficult circumstances that trip your feet out from under you. The poor widow in Jesus' parable had been knocked flat, but she refused to stay down. She got up and persistently made her request to the judge. You have an adversary who opposes you on every hand. The devil doesn't want you to pray, and he'll do everything he can to make you stop praying. Amen? During our 40-day Lent prayer and fasting, you are going to be tempted not to pray. But I have a word for you. Always pray and never give up. One of the greatest men of faith in Christian history was the English preacher George Muller. He wrote these words about praying. "The great point is never to give up until the answer comes." He said, "I have been praying for 63 years and 8 months for one man's conversion. He is not saved yet, but he will be. How can it be otherwise?" he says, "because I'm praying." George Muller died and the man was still not saved. But as they lowered Muller's casket into the ground, the man repented of his sins and trusted Jesus as his Savior. That's persistent praying. Amen. So whomever you are praying for, don't give up. Never give up. Always pray. The three prayer principles Jesus taught are: number one, don't worry, pray. Number two, don't quit, keep praying. And number three, don't doubt, pray positively. In this parable, we are represented by the widow. She didn't worry and she was persistent in her request. But is God like that crooked judge? Does God have to be pestered and bribed before he will answer your prayers? Not at all. parables not only contain comparisons, but contrasts as well. Jesus used the mean judge as an antithesis of our loving Heavenly Father. He said, "And will not God bring justice to his chosen? Will he not answer their prayers quickly?" You see, you must expect God to answer your prayers. If you doubt that you'll receive an answer, chances are you won't. In James 1, we are told when we pray for wisdom, God will give it to us generously. Then James adds a powerful warning about letting doubt creep into your prayers. He writes, "But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. James 1, 6 through 7. Compare that to the positive promises we find in 1 John 5, 14 through 15. It says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." The difference is learning to pray positively without doubting. But sadly, many Christians pray, but they really don't expect an answer. I heard about a Sunday school teacher who had her children write letters to a missionary they had been praying for. The teacher explained the missionary was very busy and wouldn't have time to send a reply to every child, so they should not expect to hear back from him. One little boy wrote this letter: "Dear Mrs. Smith, I'm praying for you. I'm not expecting an answer." Are you like that? You pray, but you aren't really expecting an answer? I've known people who have quit praying because they didn't seem to get an answer. If I walk into a room and flip the light switch, I expect the light to come on. If it doesn't, I don't curse Thomas Edison and say electricity is a lie. I start looking for the problem. Maybe the light bulb is burned out, or a breaker has been thrown, or the power is out. If it seems your prayers are an answer, don't quit praying. Start looking for the reason. It may be the wrong request, or you may have unconfessed sin in your life, or the timing may not be right. A little illustration I read called Prayer Power. When it was time to begin worship, the pastor signaled to the organist that he was ready, but the organ gave no sound. He then proceeded without the organ music as best he could. During the opening prayer, the usher discovered someone had pulled the plug of the organ from the wall. He plugged in the organ and passed a note to the pastor and said, "After prayer, the power will come and the organ will play." Spiritual power comes from prayer power. A little prayer, a little power. Much prayer, much power. No prayer, no power. God always answers prayers, but he answers prayers in different ways. God may answer your prayer quickly. God may answer your prayer later. God may answer your prayer better. Sometimes you don't get what you ask for because God has something better in store for you. Ruth Bell Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, once said, "If God answered every prayer of mine, I would have married the wrong man 7 times." He has something better in store for you. And God may answer your prayer no. Sometimes you ask God for something and his answer is simply no. But that's still an answer to prayer. Don't ever stop praying until you hear God say no. At that point, stop making requests and start praying in a different way. And we have to be like Jesus. We must pray always. Jesus often found time to pray. Jesus prayed in the mornings. Jesus prayed in the evenings. Jesus prayed in groups. And Jesus prayed by himself. Jesus prayed on his knees. Jesus prayed standing up with his face to the heavens. Jesus prayed when he was tempted. Jesus prayed when he was sad. Jesus prayed when things were going well. Jesus prayed when things were going bad. Jesus prayed when he was in excruciating pain. Jesus prayed when he was lonely. Jesus prayed long prayers. Jesus prayed short prayers. Sometimes Jesus even prayed the whole night long. Jesus prayed before he ate, and Jesus prayed while he was fasting. Jesus prayed on the mountaintop. Jesus prayed in the valley. Do you get the picture here? Jesus prayed, and he said, "Man ought to always pray and never give up.
We know that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Prayers of the righteous availeth much.
Impossible. When we pray.
Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for your prayers. We would love for you to come see us. We'd love to have you. We are Bethel AME Church, located behind the green spot. I'm Pastor Irma Raymond. Keep on praying. Don't let anyone discourage you from praying. Keep on praying. Always pray and never give up. Till next week, may God bless.